Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Arik Rees from druglord.com. That's law, you know, ED, druglord.com. Now, there's a Pledge Me thingy on there, ladies and gentlemen, so if you can help him finish his film, get it out to people. I've seen what he managed to do with the High Time New Zealand documentary. And I remember saying to you at the time, it's like, oh, man, they made you butcher it. Oh, you know, it's so one way or the other, and it's so iffy, and there's things in there that just, like, what are you trying to do? Balance the equation with yeah. Misconception? It's just like, oh, my God, you poor bastard. And now this is going to be, like, in my opinion, probably the best frickin' cannabis documentary that's been made in like, a decade.
I don't recall any significant documentaries being made on cannabis except for the TV3 documentary that I made back in 2010. There's been some, you know, smallish kind of TV coverage on Maori TV about it, but it hasn't really been a significant investigation. We are looking at the entire world when we look at this documentary and the microcosm that New Zealand presents, because the same laws that are in this country have been imposed by the United States on almost every country on the planet. And those laws are causing an incredible amount of harm. And they're suppressing the production of a plant that can do an incredible amount of good. So, you know, the costs to society of the prohibition of cannabis are enormous. And we need to really get past this childish, racist, anachronistic disposition against this plant. We need to grow up and realize that for 12,000 years almost, human beings have been benefiting from this plant, and it's only in the past 100 years there's been this prohibition of the plant, which has caused all of these problems, and we need to get back to what we were doing for those 12,000 years.
Mm. You know, it reminds me, I think my uncle was really drunk one night and scabbed a cigarette off me, and proceeded to tell me that I'll never amount to anything and nobody ever amounts to anything if they use cannabis, that it's only for losers while drunk as frack.
Smoking a cigarette, exactly. Addicted to the two drugs of choice in Western society.
Have you ever seen Trainspotting, you know, in the start, it's like, oh, I don't do heroin. It's foreign fucking chemicals, you know, as he sculls back a beer and takes a puff of a cigarette, you know?
Exactly. You know, the drug hypocrisy that we've got in Western society has spread, unfortunately, to all of these societies in Asia, in Africa, South America more recently, which have been using cannabis for a longish or very long period of time. And now cannabis is being displaced. In India, it's being displaced by the use of alcohol, especially in the north of India. And alcohol is causing all kinds of problems in society. Meanwhile, the kind of shunty attitude of the cannabis user is being shunned, you know, it's being suppressed. There's widespread crop burnings, and it's not just crops being planted for recreational medicinal purposes or industrial purposes, it's crops being planted for food. So you've got this, the impact of cannabis prohibition on people's livelihood in that way. Some people are starving in Nepal because their crops are being eradicated by UN drug programs, UNESCO and so forth are in there and destroying their food, you know, so that the U.S. can say, rah, rah, our cannabis prohibition is worldwide, and so we're going to destroy this plant in any country that we find it, regardless of your sovereign rights in that country.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Not only does the – oh, sorry, let me rephrase. Not only do the laws inherently give a justification to deprive individuals of their rights, but through the United Nations, it actually globally violates national sovereignty.
Absolutely. The conventions on drugs that most countries are signatories to take away the power of those countries to organize their laws and their policies in a way that suits those countries' needs and has the most positive outcomes. So sovereignty has been flushed down the toilet by signing these conventions, and it's extremely difficult for countries to step back and go, hang on a second, we need to there's a process where you can withdraw from a convention and re-sign with conditions. And in order to find the political will for a parliament of any country, including New Zealand, to do that, it's extremely difficult. So we're in lockstep with these stupid United Nations policies.
Well, there has been was it Raglan or some other small New Zealand town who says that they wanted to start a campaign there on a small scale to legalize using a local ordinance, and that would basically crack open the door. Just kind of like, if you want something to get really big, you've got to start small.
Yes, no, I know which. It was a place in the South Island. I'm sorry, I'm not sure exactly what the town is called, where one of the local councillors was pushing for this. But it's not going to find a lot of traction. There's too many conservative people in the local city councils in this country to have the foresight to realize, well, there are ways. There are ways that you can do it. They did it in the Netherlands. They had the tolerance policy. They still have it to this day, where the police were told, just turn a blind eye. It's still against the law. Look the other way because it's not a problem. And then they found that not only was it not a problem, it was actually a boon. They have tourism there because of it. They have, I don't know, millions, I could say millions of people visiting every year.
Well, there's 1 million annually from France alone.
Visiting the Netherlands.
Specifically.
To visit the coffee shops.
That's a tourism boom by any stretch of the imagination. And then you think about the proximity, how many other countries are within there that are easily travelable by train. Mm-hmm. Now with the European zone, you don't even need to have passports and things checked. You just roll right in and then roll right up.
Right. And the problem associated with this is that people are going there to score and then transporting it back to their own countries. And they're being arrested for that, and fair enough. Fair enough, you're taking it across national borders and you shouldn't be doing that.
That's drug trafficking.
Exactly. So I don't mind people being punished for doing stupid things with cannabis, right? If you sell to somebody who's underage, you deserve to go to jail. So the problem there, though, is that you can't get it in Germany legally. You can't get it in France legally. You have to go to the Netherlands to get it. So if they were to legalize in France and in Germany, that problem would disappear.
Yeah, there would be no drug trafficking over the borders for those particular people that are currently being caught for it. And also, on the other hand, I've heard that the tourism boom in the Netherlands is so strong because of this that they're actually experiencing problems because of the huge amount of tourists that they're coming in, and certain people being disrespectful.
That's right.
Defecating in the street and so on and so forth.
Well,
I'm not sure if that's to do with the cannabis, though, you know. Cannabis doesn't make me want to squat in the street.
No, although I have seen people do that on alcohol. What happens is you get the dregs of society that are going to get on this bandwagon and go there for the party, right? But like I just said, if they could get cannabis in their own country, they'd be the dregs of society in their country, which they're doing anyway. You know, so at least they'd be defecating in the streets of their hometown rather than going to a foreign country to do it.
Yeah, I know. And so those are the dregs of society that have enough money for a plane ticket.
Plane ticket or ferry ticket or however their train ticket if they're coming from France or Germany. You know, the cost of travel, I'm not sure how much it is to get across borders in the European Union these days.
Just jump on a train as far as I know.
Yeah, you could get a passage pretty easily. So they're arriving in the Netherlands and they're causing problems, and then people are pointing at that and going, look at the problems caused by, you know, having legal access to cannabis. No, that's the problems caused by not having legal access to cannabis in your own country.
Yeah.
They're coming here and causing problems, you know. And if you had legal access in your own country, you could divert funds to treat those people who do have a problem, and then there'd be less of a problem.
See, it's coming back to that same old broken record again. The prohibition doesn't work, and even when you legalize in a prohibitionist world, it still is not perfect. You know,
of course not.
Global legalization, ultimately, that'd be the ideal goal of this film, wouldn't it?
Well, of course, the objective of the film is to bring about a change in New Zealand policy and even globally, because people in other countries will see that New Zealand is a representative of their country and falls neatly within the framework of the United Nations imposing its prohibition on their country. Mm. And if people in New Zealand take the lead like they claim they did, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when New Zealand was possibly a progressive society, if they could take that mantle upon themselves again and get rid of politicians like Peter Dunne and get rid of power players like Mike Sabin and have people who are talking sense like Matiria Ture decide our drug policies with our best interests at heart rather than their own interests at heart, we could take the lead and we could show other countries that this is how you regulate cannabis. This is how you control this thing.
Mm.
This is how you cause it, you take it from being a problem to being something that's beneficial for society, that can generate income, that can help people with sickness, and that can give people a safer alternative to alcohol, which is the main drug problem in this country.
I heard a statistic, I believe the government even advertises the statistic on TV. Is it 79% of all weekend crime is related to
85%
alcohol? 85%
was the statistic that I read. 85%. In the United States, not talking about weekend crime, but talking about crime in general, 30% of crimes are committed under the influence of alcohol. In New Zealand, if you're not talking about the weekend, if you're talking about the whole week, it's 40% of crimes. And this is the whopper. In the UK, 80% of crimes are committed under the influence of alcohol in the United Kingdom.
80%?
So tell us what the problem drugs are, drug warriors. And then you have Peter Dunne, who not only represents the tobacco industry in the cases that I've looked at where he's been voting in their favor. He's also representing the alcohol industry. He quashed that inquiry that was recently he withdrew the $10,000, the measly $10,000 funding that they required to finish their study. He denied them that, so the study was never completed. And the Law Commission's advocation for tightening of the alcohol laws was basically watered down to become almost insignificant. So the booze barons are just laughing. They've got it their way almost every step of the way. And we're asking for what we're asking for in comparison is that cannabis be regulated without any advertising, right? Look at how much advertising the liquor industry sponsors. You know, aren't they sponsoring the All Blacks? They're sponsoring numerous rugby teams.
They sponsored frickin' James Bond.
Did they? Well, there you go. The alcohol industry is proliferated right through the society. We've got some of the highest rates of alcohol abuse in this country in the world. You see it in the newspaper every day. Speaking of the All Blacks, Robin Brooks sexually assaulting a teenage girl and her teenage friend, and on holiday. You know, you've got Zac Efron. What's his name? The young All Black, alcoholic, assaulting people for no reason because he's drunk. You know, this is happening all the time. You open the newspaper and there's an All Black who's committed an assault while drunk. So these are supposed to be, you know, the prime examples of, you know, New Zealand achievement, the All Blacks. Yeah, go the All Blacks. Go and assault somebody while you're drunk. Thanks very much, eh? Raise the profile of the All Blacks.
Yeah, well, it seems that alcohol is just a very massive problem in this country and many others. And it occurs to me as well, you know, what was it? There was something funny I heard the other day. Oh, yeah. It was 65% of women surveyed think that the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, is sexy. And a lot of people thought, well, that's very interesting. You know, for me, it just highlighted the drinking problem that we've got in this country.
Yes, indeed. You'd have to be pretty drunk. You'd have to be pretty beer-goggled to think that the Prime Minister is sexy. He's not a sexy man.
You know, he's just got a big poster of him on the wall, and I'm just
staring
looking
at us.
You know, and he's staring at, you know, his eyes follow you wherever you go.
That's true.
You know, it's just like on Ghostbusters 2 with that painting of that old warlord dude that was real freaky and just kind of followed you around and stuff like that. That's like John Key on your wall, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty disturbing.
It is disturbing.
You know, and I was just thinking about this. These people are just freaking criminals in suits. They're running the drugs. They're taking the drugs. And their inherent hypocrisy is, we're the ones who should be punished, we're the ones who should be surveilled, we're the ones who should be busted, we're the ones who should be thrown in jail, we're the ones who should be killed, we're the ones who should have our lives destroyed by their policy, which they made up off the top of their frickin' head to protect their own scumbaggery interests. They're criminals in suits. They're in parliament, they're in the government buildings, they're on the streets selling you frickin' drugs from the courthouse between sessions. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.